Well, good morning, church, and welcome to West Winds Community Church Online. Thank you for joining us this morning. I just want to give you a little quick update. As you probably have already heard, that Bonnie Henry has stated that we will be extending the restrictions to February 5th, so of next month. And so what does that mean for us? What that means is that we're going to be online until then. You'll hear all sorts of different information coming out as the month goes on, as far as where your life groups are online and what that all looks like. But we're hoping that as we move into March and April and maybe even May, that maybe there'll be some restrictions that are kind of peeled back a bit. So just so you know, that's where we're at. The building is open, so if you'd like to have a meeting with one of us, need to talk to one of us, feel free to call us and set that up. We'll be glad to meet with you. We just can't gather in a service right now. So as far as we are doing it for the month of January until February 5th, we will be online only for all of our stuff. Again, if you want to come by and say hi. And if you need to chat, we'll gladly do that with you. I'd also like to do a little bit of a prayer right now, as I know there's a lot of people that are struggling as it comes to the restrictions, as it comes to this pandemic, as it comes to all that has to do with that, where you can't be with loved ones, you can't meet with certain family members, you got to stay within your bubble. And so let's pray together that God will help those that are struggling, that are in need. Let's do that right now. Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. And we think of those that are struggling during this pandemic. We think of those that are lonely, those that are suffering with mental health issues, those that are depressed. We just pray that you will reach out to those people, have people come and reach out to those people, that they will feel your spirit as well around them as others pray for them in this time of need. And so, Father, as we continue to move forward through this, I just pray that you'll, as a Christian church, as Christians around the world, we will come together instead of worrying about conspiracy theories, instead of arguing about all sorts of stuff that's going on in the world today. Help us to be unified, and that we will lift up the body of Christ. We will reach out to those in need that need it, and that we'll be there for each other to help each other make it through this pandemic. So, Father, as we move forward in this, give us the strength to get through to the other side. And while we're in this, help us to be a servant to those out there that need it. Help us to serve each other. Help us to serve the church, those in need. Everyone that needs help, let us do that for them. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and thank you for what you're about to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. And it talks about gifts and how God is the one who gives those gifts to us. I really enjoy this portion of scripture because it gives us the idea of actually where the gifts come from. A lot of times we think that it's our own talents and our own abilities, but when it's actually God who has given that to us. And what are we supposed to do with those gifts that he's given to us? Well, let's look at this scripture. We'll read it now, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascend mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who is descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I want us to recognize today that the Holy Spirit is responsible for giving us our spiritual gifts, and He knows what will be best for us personally, and He also knows what is best for the church as a whole. And as we continue in our Christian walk, we need to learn how to trust the judgment of the Holy Spirit in His plan for our lives. Have you ever accomplished something only to have someone else steal the credit for your hard work? Or are you the type of person that likes to take all the credit? You see, in our lives, God does all the work. He equips us and He enables us with our spiritual gifts. But in many cases, we can swoop in and take all the credit. We can take our talents for granted, and we take our gifts and we make them all about us instead of about God and about the unity of the church. And so it's critical to remember that our gifts are the result of God giving us those gifts. They're not because we're so special or we're so great, it's because God has given them to us. You see, Paul calls the believers in Ephesus to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. He says that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, right off the bat in our scripture today. He encourages them to see their gifts as the wisdom and outflow of God's knowledge of what is needed. Their gifts were meant to unite the believers in the church and not to create division by people fighting and thinking they're better than everyone else because maybe their gift might be better. So the intention of the Holy Spirit in dispersing the gifts is explained in our scripture today. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 11 to 16 talks specifically about that. And we're reminded that what we have received is for the glory of God and not for ourselves. Our gifts are designed by a God who knows what plans He has for each and every one of us. He says that in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. And He also talks about our gifts being dispersed by the Spirit of God and as the Spirit of God sees fit in chapter 4 verse 7, in verse 11, and in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. You see, verse 7 introduces the subject of our spiritual giftedness, and the emphasis turns at that moment from the church's unity to the individual diversity. Each of us received a spiritual gift by the grace of God, and that grace has not been apportioned equally. Rather, Christ has chosen how to divide grace to each member. Each gift is distinct, and each gift is different. Now, each of the gifts listed points to various ways that members of the body of Christ have been equipped to serve one another while proclaiming the message of redemption offered by Jesus to the glory of God. The gifts given are not meant as a badge of honor, but they're meant as something to be humbly accepted. We do not deserve anything, but we need to have an attitude of thankfulness that God will and can use us. See, one author named Max Ander says that diverse gifts create and build up the body in unity. This unity is in faith and knowledge of Christ. Christ does not try to build up superstars in His kingdom with superior faith or superior knowledge. He tries to build up a church that is unified in its faith and knowledge, building each member up to maturity. The church's goal is that each member of the entire church will show to the world all the attributes and qualities of Christ in our unity. And it is at that time the church will truly be one body of Christ. You see, sometimes our struggle with the gifts of God is to trust that God is in control and that our gifts are a result of His blessing to us. I remember back in the day when I was a young pastor, God was speaking to me. I was very frustrated with some things, and this one woman came to the church and knocked on the door. There was no other pastor here. It was just I was here and my wife was here, and she knocked on the door and she said, "I need to come and talk to the pastor that's here." And my wife, I just come into my wife and said, "You know what? I'm almost done with the ministry. I don't know what to do. I gotta get out." And when that woman came, my wife knew that I didn't want to speak to anybody. I wasn't in the mood. But the lady came in and said, "Well, I need to talk to the pastor that's here. And if that's the only pastor, that's the one God's telling me to speak to." And at that time, My wife decided that I needed to hear what God had to say. And so she came in. I was in praying in the sanctuary. She came in and said, "Mark, there's someone here to see you." And I said, "I really don't want to speak to anybody right now." And she said, "You need to come in and talk to this woman." So I listened, as a good husband does, went in and was very excited to hear what this woman had to say. And the lady spoke to me in a way that I heard. And she said, "You know what? You just have to give me a couple minutes because I want to make sure I get this right for you." And you know what? God spoke through her. And the whole point of this story is not that she said something to me. The fact was that she was so excited that God used her in a time that was needed. And you know what? She spoke to me and she was excited. We prayed together and it was a really good moment of how God used someone else's gift to speak into my life when this woman thought that God was not actually going to use her anymore. So God is in charge of all our gifts and we can't take them for granted. This lady actually said that she thought that maybe God had maybe stopped giving her her gift because of whatever reason, and so she was upset about it. And so when that happened, she was so excited that God used her in a time of need. You see, God chooses when. And I honestly think that God will give us gifts in times that we need it, and in times that we don't, He'll take those gifts and we won't use those gifts. It's just the way it is. But it's up to Him. And as long as we allow God to be the one who decides when the gifts are used and how they're used, I think we're going to be just okay. I want you to also understand, and I want to give you a different perspective on our gifts and the gifts of the member. It's important for us to realize that each person in the church should see that all the members of the congregation are meant to be gifts as well. Like, we should look for the grace of God in others. And you know, sometimes we struggle with that, but honestly, we need to really focus on each member being an important part of the congregation and that they themselves are a gift of God. And so we should look for the grace of God in others, and we should do this especially in our churches, not just our church, but all churches. We should give thanks to God for our fellow members, and we should let them know it. We should let each member know how we're thankful for them and the gifts that they have. Every single one of you has a gift. You may not know what that is, but every single one of you has a gift. And so we should give thanks to God for all of you. Now, if Jesus has given gifts to us in the church, then we should be more vocal about thanking God for those people. And so maybe that's a challenge you could do this week. You can thank others for the gifts or for whatever they've done for you in their life. So everyone who's utilizing gifts, whether it's a gift of serving or a gift of prayer, it's important that we thank them for what they've done for others and for us as well. Now, we can sometimes focus on ourselves with an attitude of entitlement when it comes to how the church should be or how a service should be run, rather than seeing how we can build each other up. And it's unfortunate because many people in the church, and again, I'm not necessarily specifically talking about our church, but in many churches, people feel that this is their church and they deserve to have a right to say what they need to say. Well, if it's not building others up, or if it's not building up the church, then it's not really worth saying. I think if we are all to see the value of our gifts as part of a body, we would be more willing to accept that the Holy Spirit has done this. The Holy Spirit has chosen in the Holy Spirit's wisdom to set other people apart for this unity, for this growth, for stability in the body of Christ. And so we realize that it's not all about us, and that's where we find the struggle. A lot of times we struggle with issues because of our preferences, because of habits that we've had for so long that we just, you know, we don't even know we do them. And sometimes it's because of nostalgia. Nostalgia's just fantastic because, oh, I remember the old days. I remember my childhood. There are songs that when I hear them, when they're sung or when they're brought up or somebody mentions the name, that they take me right back to my teenage years, take me right back to my childhood. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not worth fighting for. It's not worth something that's to get into an argument to cause disunity. You see, we can fix a lot of our issues if we would take the focus off ourselves and put others first, but also step back and look at the bigger picture. You see, there's a popular saying, I don't know if you remember this, on looking at the big picture, and you've probably heard it before, where it says, we need a bird's eye view, or you've probably heard this one too. Here's the 30,000 foot view. I mean, there's a 50,000 foot view and a 10,000 foot view, but the point is it's a really high, big perspective view. And what that means is it's to look at the situation differently from a different perspective. So when we're frustrated with God, and when we're frustrated with the church, and when we're frustrated with a pandemic, and when we're frustrated with our friends and others and ourselves, what can we do? Well, we can stop. You know, sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. To stop. And sometimes in our life, we just need to do it. We need to stop getting in our own head. We need to stop worrying. We need to stop being ready to be hurt or hurt others. And we need to stop trying to control things that we cannot control. You know what you can control? And I guarantee you can do it. You can control yourself. And I promise you, if you stop trying to control these things and getting in your head and stop worrying, you will be glad that you did. It'll make a huge difference. So when we find ourselves frustrated with what's going on around us and with us and all that, stop. Secondly, take a step back. Literally, take a step back. Step back and look at the big picture again. Literally, and figuratively as well. Slow it down and get a better perspective and get that 30,000 foot view of what's going on. I'm going to tell you, it's going to make a huge difference in your life. Here's a little example. I was on scene with the fire truck one day, and it was a brand new truck, and I'd pumped before on this thing, and there was a fire going on. It was a pretty serious fire. And I was standing so close to that pump panel that all I could see was a couple of the valves that I had to open, but I couldn't figure out where some of the buttons were to get the main part of the water moving and out to the front of the truck to the hoses. And I tell you right now, all I did was step back. I stepped back and took a look, and sure enough, I got a bigger picture, and bang, there's the button. Sure enough, done. Problem solved, water flowing. When you step back, sometimes literally, physically move back, and then in your own life, sometimes it's a mental thing where you have to figuratively step back and go, wait a minute, what's going on here? It makes a huge difference. Get that 30,000 foot view and get that bird's eye view of what's going on, and your perspective will change. Now, talking about perspective, what will change even more is if you pray. When you pray, the second that you bring your struggles to God in prayer, or your problems or your complaints, I promise you, He will instantly give you a perspective, whether it's your own self-centered issue that you're focusing on, or whether it's something else dealing with others, whether it's others' focus. I promise you, He will give you that perspective when you pray. So what do you do when things seem out of control and you don't stop? Take a step back and pray. It's going to make a big difference. God speaks to you when you are silent. There's a lot of noise in our world today. It's time to step back and be silent. You know, we all know what's been happening down in the States, and it's unfortunate that that's all going on, and there's conspiracy theories, and there's all sorts of stuff on the news and Google and, you know, all that good stuff. Be careful. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you put in your head, because a lot of these things are misleading. Now, I'm not going to say whether one thing is good or bad. I do know that any type of rioting or any type of harm to someone else or property, life, environment, I'm telling you, that's not good. That's unfortunate, and it should not happen. If you have different beliefs, you know what? You can have different beliefs, but in the church, we are not to be worrying about who's in some political party and arguing with our members of our church. What's the most important thing here? To love God, love our neighbor as ourself. That's it. We shouldn't be worrying about whether or not so-and-so likes this political party or that. That's not the important thing. The important thing is to pray for each other, care for each other, lift each other up, and love each other, but love God first. And so, as we move forward into 2021, let us focus on each other. Let us focus on others. Let us look outwardly instead of looking inwardly and worrying about how we feel and our rights and what we want and what we need. Because when you step back and take that look on the big picture, and when you pray, God will show you what's really important. What's really important is your relationship with God, and family members and friends and all those that are in your circle of influence, all those that are at work, all those that you bump into, that you get to meet, all your future friends that are coming, those are the ones that you need to be focusing on. Don't be focusing on, you know, your way or how you want it. Focus on others, and it's going to make a big difference in your life. You know, like I said earlier, each and every one of you has a gift, and it's up to, well, it's partly my job to help you find out and equip you with what that is and help you find that through prayer and through the Holy Spirit. And so in the next few months, we're going to be looking at what your giftings are as we preach through this. And there's going to be an opportunity down in the next few Sundays for you to be able to find out what that gifting is, what God has given you as a gift. Maybe you already know it, but if you don't, we're going to help you find that and help you utilize that gift and serve others in a great way, in a way that's led by the Holy Spirit. So I'm excited for what's ahead. I'm excited for what we're going to be doing as we move through this pandemic. Let me pray for you before we end our service today. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I just pray that as we look to you for our giftings, as we look to you for what you want us to do, help us to have an open mind, help us be ready to serve, and help us to take the focus off of us. And when we are struggling, when we're going through hard times, help us to stop, help us to step back, and help us to pray. And then you will show us, by your Holy Spirit, you will show us the direction you want us to go. You'll give us that big picture. Thank you for everything you're doing in our lives and what you're about to do. And again, we pray for those that are struggling through COVID right now, as far as mental health, as far as depression, as far as feeling lonely. I challenge each and every one of us in our church that you would bring someone to mind that we can phone this week, that we can send an email, that we can get into contact with on Zoom or over the internet, that we can connect with them and make them feel and understand that they are loved, they are cared for and thought about. And so help bring those people to our mind in Jesus' name. Amen. Find out who you need to contact this week, because there's a lot going on right now and it's going to be extended for another month. So as these restrictions continue, so think about someone you can contact, see how they're doing. You can pray with them, whatever it is, check up on them, check in on them. Let's do it. Let's do this together. God bless you. And we're going to see you next Sunday. Have a great week and be safe out there.